We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And it is Bowerly and Bellavia for real on News Radio 930 WBEN. You've got the both of us, and in studio, once again, we have the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard J. Malone. Bishop, thanks very much for stopping by again so quickly.
Thank you for the invitation again. Glad to be here.
First things first, bankruptcy and the Buffalo Diocese, to what extent has that option been discussed?
Well, that's a very pertinent question, because for the past several months, we have been very, very carefully analyzing where we are with the whole situation. With the Child Victims Act, we have now, I think, 138 lawsuits that have come in. We anticipate, and this is only a guesstimate, about maybe 250 to 275. That's what my people who follow those numbers tell me. So we've been analyzing carefully with experts on both sides. We haven't made the decision yet. Will it be best to litigate or to file Chapter 11? And as you said, Rochester is the only one of the eight dioceses so far to go Chapter 11. The argument, I think the best argument for Chapter 11 is that it truly allows, I think, for a more balanced justice to the victims, because I'm told if you litigate these cases, whether they go to jury or whether they're settled, then some of the first ones to come through will be huge, huge amounts, which will pretty much eat up the resources, so other victims down the line may get very little or nothing. And bankruptcy, I think, they tell me, I know nothing about this, you know, but apparently it would even the playing field. But one way or the other, it's a decision I'm getting close to, but I'm not there yet.
Bishop, when you say close, are we talking about a matter of days? And
no.
Which way are you inclined at present?
Well, it won't be a matter of days, because the people, the experts on both sides, I listen to debates between them every few weeks as we're getting more and more data. Both sides agree. Those who would argue litigate, those who would argue Chapter 11, are saying let's hold off for a while and see what more information comes in. So I really can't predict at this point when it will be, but not a matter of days.
I want to get to a couple names here. Father Yetter and Father Art Smith. Okay, you made a decision to essentially give them another chance in the ministry. Okay.
Well, they're very different cases.
But your heart was to say give someone a different chance, because there's a difference between. Well, let me just ask you this question: you see a difference between a same-sex adult relationship and someone who is abusing an underage child?
Well, neither is morally acceptable from the Catholic perspective.
Got it.
But clearly, the abuse of a child is the most horrific thing that can ever happen, especially done by a trusted person like a priest or a deacon.
Do you have a policy in the church that is akin to the old military policy of don't ask, don't tell? I don't need to know if you're attracted to women or men?
No, we do not have that. And the good news is, and you'll be among the first to hear about this, I've had a wonderful group of lay people with expertise for several months working to develop a new policy and new procedures for how to handle allegations of sexual abuse or misconduct by a priest or deacon or a bishop against an adult. See, we have that wonderful whole set of policies for children, and it's been very effective. No priest of this diocese ordained in the past 30 years has a substantiated allegation of child abuse against him. But we haven't had that kind of a protocol in the country. for adult situations like Yetter and Smith would have been. We have it now, and you'll all be seeing it hopefully next week.
What would the response be if a bishop took a stance? I mean, the church has been fairly transparent when it comes to their, at least when it comes to same-sex marriage. The Catholic Church really hasn't wavered on that. They have wavered on how they see homosexuality. And yet, is the response supposed to be that the future of the person who replaces you, the person 10 years down the road, is he saying, I don't want homosexuals as priests? Or is he saying that, this entire thing is that homosexuality, if you're in a relationship with another priest, it's wrong because you're breaking your vow, but you're also against the act of homosexuality?
Well, the church's position on homosexuality is nuanced because the church does not in any way condemn a person because he or she is of a homosexual orientation. But from the Catholic perspective, every person is called to chastity, simply meaning a proper living of one's sexuality according to one's state in life. And our Catholic conviction is that sexual expression belongs only in the covenant of marriage, whether that's involving men or women. And we don't believe in same-sex marriage, so it only can be between a man and a woman.
So, but I'm saying that if a priest had a relationship with an adult woman or a priest had a relationship with an adult male, the punishment for that—
You mean a sexual relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah, both are wrong.
Both are wrong, and both would be dealt with the same way. There's not a different rule for homosexuals than there are for—
No, those would be equally egregious sins.
We're in this last situation, we were talking about a father who basically abused his power, who happened to be gay, happened to be a priest, but he allegedly used his position to somehow get leverage in a personal relationship.
Are you talking about the Father Nowak situation?
Yes, the Father Nowak
situation. And I do not know for sure if I can say that Father Jeff is gay. I've never heard him say that. The problem was the letter he wrote to the seminarian, before he was a seminarian, I think Matthew, not the letter, that was Father Richard. This thing is so convoluted, it's hard to talk about it. But he had a friendship with Matthew that he felt very strongly about, and apparently it was off to a good start. But then, from what I read, Father Nowak became more enmeshed in Matthew's life and his family's life,
and he crossed the line.
Resisted that.
But he's accused to have crossed the line.
Well, he's being accused of harassment or misconduct.
Right. So the point is that when you initially heard that story, and you're dealing with misconduct of any priest that's under your authority, there is a when it comes to a child abuse case, there's a protocol for that. When it comes to any sort of allegation of abuse or a DUI, you have protocols for everything.
We have the brand new one that you'll see next week,
which is adult relationships.
Exactly.
And that'll come out next week.
And it will be abuse or misconduct of any kind by a priest, a deacon, or a bishop of an adult. And it's very, very detailed. It was put together mainly, exclusively by a lay committee of people who had expertise in this, and then reviewed by my priest council and canon lawyers and everyone else.
Would it be a better idea, though, to enforce the chastity of the vow?
Absolutely.
Even if it's not an abusive relationship, it could be a consensual relationship with a man or with a woman. It's still against the policies of the church.
Absolutely. Both under the Christian virtue of chastity, which means an ordered living of your sexual life, and the additional commitment of celibacy that we take as ordained ministers in the Catholic Church. The seminary has a very vigorous and serious program of, we call it human formation, along with spiritual, intellectual, and pastoral, to help the young men look deeply into their identity sexually in every way. And we want to know they can live that commitment if they're going to be ordained.
Just to switch gears, Bishop Malone, have you been asked to testify in any court proceedings?
I have not as yet.
Okay. And when that process happens, if it does happen down the road, where are these funds going to come from if the church is declared a bankruptcy?
Well, hopefully, as I say, I'm no expert in bankruptcy. The more I learn about it, the more I know I don't know. It's very complicated law to me. But I understand that if we go Chapter 11, still we'll be able to have the funding we need to carry on the essential works and mission of the church.
So there's a budget to continue. What if there's a guarantee for a payout to someone who was a victim of abuse? Does the bankruptcy stop that payment and say, wait, we got to talk about all of this? The church is going to continue to function. Do the victims still get the money that a court has agreed that they deserve?
That's a little too technically legal for me to answer. So I really don't know. But I know that.
But the allegation that Chapter 11 somehow protects you from responsibilities that a court has said you're accountable for, is that true or false?
Well, what I understand, again, is just that, and this is a very general thing, and I don't know the detail, honestly, but that the way it works out, the mission of the church can carry on. See, right now, my two big commitments as bishop of this diocese are to continue the best we can to respond to the need for healing and justice for the victims, and to maintain safe environment. We have a big commitment to that, and I think that's working. I know it is. And also, at the same time, to make sure the fundamental mission of the church that Christ gave the church 2,000 years ago continues on in terms of, you know, evangelization, outreach to the poor, all of those kinds of things we have to do. That cannot get sidetracked.
We just spoke a few moments ago about celibacy and the importance of celibacy. Given the relationship between Father Richard and Mr. Bojanowski, did it raise any eyebrows in your mind when these two men bought a house together?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was not even told by Father Richard, whom I trusted 1,000%. I lived with the man in the bishop's residence for 6 years and worked with him almost every day. And I never learned about the purchase of that house from him. I heard it secondhand from others. And one day I said, "Hey, Richard, I hear you and Matthew have purchased a house together." He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, I never knew that." He said, "Well, I thought you did. I thought everybody knew it, but I didn't know it."
They say that the relationship was a platonic relationship. And then there's also the issue of that letter. Do you believe it was, in fact, a platonic relationship?
Well, you know, I don't have a reason not to believe it, because I asked Father Richard, and I said this in public, on two separate occasions sitting in my house with him. We used to pray when we were in the house at 5:20 in the afternoon, and we might have a glass of wine and have supper together. And I asked him one day, "Is there anything I need to be concerned about with this relationship of you and Matthew?" He said, "No, Bishop, there is not." Looked me right in the eye. And then I asked him a second time, a little while after that, "Is there?" And I was very direct. I said, "Is there any sexual activity going on between the two of you?" That's an awkward question to have to ask somebody, but I asked it. And he said, "No, Bishop, there is not." And I can say honestly that I never, ever saw the two of them together in my residence. But certainly many people were, how shall I put it, were concerned about the content and tone of that letter that Richard wrote to Matthew. There's no question about that.
We're talking, by the way, in studio with the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, on News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to get back to a question about Father Richard. He has claimed, and others have claimed, that you are somebody who specifically gave orders that negative stories about you, negative news, was not to be presented to you, that you did not wish to hear, read, or be exposed to anything negative. Is that true?
No, of course it's not true, because there's no way. I mean, I read the papers every day, sometimes reluctantly, and I watch the media, and I receive any letter that comes to me. I get loads of mail. Believe it or not, even apart from this crisis, other people write to me about other things in the church. And any letter that comes to me that says personal and confidential, only I see it. And I read every single one of them. Today, I opened up my mail, and there were a few negative critical ones and several positive hang-in-there ones. So I see them all.
So you do not screen out the bad ones or have underlings screen out the bad ones. That is a false statement about you.
You can call my executive assistant, Patricia. Feel free to call her and ask her. I see every single thing that comes in.
Now, you've adamantly stated that you are not going to resign. And with respect, I ask you the question, how can you effectively be the bishop of a diocese where you couldn't even attend the Catholic Charities Mass and dinner, and where some institutions seem to be closing their doors on you, their bishop? How in the world do you possibly act as the CEO, if you will, of the diocese under those circumstances?
Well, you know what? It's a painful reality. The one commitment that I pulled back on was to be present at the Catholic Charities leadership dinner, we call it. It's a dinner we hold at the seminary. We have mass and dinner, really to thank all of the good folks out there in the parishes who do the fundraising. And I had known there was a planned protest at that event, and I just did not want those good people to have to endure that when they're coming for a happy, festive time. So I decided in that case not to go. I've gone to other events, and I will continue. I had a beautiful celebration with the Hispanic community last weekend at Holy Angels Church, and there was no, I didn't know whether there would be protesters or not, but I didn't care. I went anyway. And I'll continue going to my commitments.
Bishop.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Malone is with us in studio on News Radio 930 WBEN. Since we last spoke, have you had any conversation at all with Cardinal Dolan or anyone connected with Cardinal Dolan's office about the situation in Buffalo?
Well, you know, I can tell you this every few weeks, mainly because we're trying to keep track of the Child Victims Act. The eight bishops of the dioceses of New York, stretching from Rockville Center, which is the Long Island Diocese and the Archdiocese in Brooklyn, out here to the western end of the state, we have a conference call, all of us, all the bishops, with the cardinal. And really to keep track of how many cases are coming in and how we're handling it and what we're thinking about how to deal with it. So it's mainly conversation about that. And, of course, the cardinal will ask me how I'm doing because he's very focused on, he hears all this, he's getting his mail. So we have conversations about it. And, I told the cardinal, and I'll say it publicly, I told the cardinal if the Holy See decides to do some kind of a review of the situation here in the Diocese of Buffalo, I welcome that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens of that.
You know, I want to just do a follow-on to the question about blocking the negative information. Does that go for emails as well? Is there some filter process that you use when you get hateful emails, or you think you just tell the people, you don't directly get emails, I assume.
I, like every bishop, have a private unlisted email.
Got it.
And unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, that became public. And I do not need or want a whole flood of emails of all kinds coming. So people get to me either through the diocesan website.
Right.
Or through emails or phone calls to the bishop's office. My assistant gets them, and she prints those out for me, and I see them.
But the idea that somehow that message wasn't having to do with letters, but emails as well. If you got negative emails, don't forward them to me. That was never said?
No. I see all of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
don't always like what I see, but I have to see it.
If you knew that there was a priest that wanted to move in with a younger lady, would you take that priest aside and say the same questions that you were asking?
I wouldn't take me long to tell him it simply can't happen.
Why is it different if a priest moves in with a single woman than if a priest moves in with a younger single man?
Well, the question would be if the younger single man is a brother priest. I mean, many priests,
right,
in a healthy way, have a home together.
This situation, though, it wasn't the case.
I don't think it's appropriate. Well, to tell you the truth, in my almost 20 years as a bishop, I've never had the question come to me before, and other media people have asked me this too, whether it's appropriate or allowed for a priest to own a home with a seminarian. That's a brand new question to me. I do not think it is appropriate. I think it's like I don't think it's like a professor in a university probably shouldn't own a home with one of his students.
Exactly.
It's a new question. And I found out about this situation with Father Richard and Matthew after the fact.
Got it. And it had this happened tomorrow, how do you handle it?
Well,
you hear that someone in your diocese has a home or a relationship ongoing. How does Bishop Malone
with a seminarian?
Yeah.
Well, I think it can be a very healthy thing for priests to have healthy, mature relationships with seminarians.
Okay.
You know, to mentor them. I
But he's quoting pop song love lyrics in his letter. I mean, that's not a professor helping out a kid.
That kind of thing raises questions.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't say that on my own. I've heard many people say that.
Have you had any contact at all with the Vatican or anybody in Rome relative to the situation in Buffalo?
I have not had a direct contact with anybody at the Vatican. I know because I've been told that the Vatican, you wouldn't be surprised, has been receiving information and communications from people from the diocese. I'm assuming it's on both sides of the issue. And that's why I say if at some point it would be some kind of a review that the Vatican asked to have here, I'd be very open to that. I'd let all the truth come out.
I would like your comments on a quote from an article in the New York Times by Sharon Otterman from John J. Hurley, president of Canisius College. Collections are drying up in parishes. People are walking out of the parishes saying, I've had enough. Question number one, to what extent is revenue or donation down?
I have not seen the most recent figure. We tracked that a few months ago, and this was several months ago. It was down about 7%. Then I had heard 13%. It's time for us from my office to do another survey of the parishes to see what the average is at this point.
Was that compared week to week, year to year, quarter to quarter?
I don't. You know, it was my vicar general who prepared that inquiry, and I'm not exactly sure at this point how he structured that when he sent it out.
And how about attendance at Mass?
Again, I hear in many but not all parishes it's down, which is unfortunate because the people are so dismayed by the knowledge of 50 or 60 years of horrendous behavior by some priests before I ever came here. Somehow all of that has come my way. I get that. And one of the reasons I want to stay on is if I can help to be the one who, if you pardon the image, kind of clear over the next year or two of my time here, help to clear the playing field by doing the best I can. And with the new adult misconduct policy and a new reporting system we're about to announce called Ethics Point. Ethics Point has been, we've had it for some time just for fraud. Now we've added on there, people can use a third-party reporting system also for misconduct or sexual abuse, again, by any cleric. So I'm sorry I got off the track there. I don't think I answered your question.
We're talking about attendance at Mass.
Oh, yeah. So the attendance at Mass, of course, sadly, even before the last year and a half with the abuse crisis, had been diminishing here and in many parts of the country. That's why so many of our efforts were aimed at evangelization and still are, helping, you know, even baptized Catholics come to encounter Christ in a new way and feel that commitment to live their faith. But there's no question that this situation has also impacted the faith of some. I tell them, look, the church upsets us at times. I get that. We've been through a terrible time in Buffalo and in the world. But don't take your eyes off Jesus Christ. That's the whole point.
I wanted to ask you if you know of today anyone in the diocese that works under you that has that is not committed to their vow of celibacy. Are there people living an adult life that are dating or seeing other people?
Like a double life?
Exactly. Has that come up to you about any other
priest? I honestly do not know that there's anything like that going on. I said that at one of the listening sessions. A woman asked me that question. I said, I do not know of it. She said, how can you say that? Do you follow them all around every day? I said, no, of course I don't. But if I heard of it, I would immediately challenge that priest or that deacon.
Is it safe to say, though, that the sense of urgency for you is the welfare and security of children, people who were victimized as children, and as serious as this is, it is not at the level of what you've been dealing with for the last, you know, 18 months right now.
Well, my priority is to continue what I think has been the effective work we've done at protecting children and young people, and now to bring that same kind of strong approach to any, I hope they don't come in, but any future allegation of a priest, a deacon, or a bishop having any inappropriate contact with an adult. That's the new chapter. And it's something I think that the Me Too movement has helped to trigger. And
it's definitely a good thing. It's a Me Too. I would say. So what is the responsibility of how a Catholic should be informed? The time frame. If a story breaks, you find out about something. When is the appropriate amount of time to tell the congregation this guy has been alleged to have done something horrible, or this guy is, you know, running the streets with in a relationship with someone?
Well, that's a good. We have a very specific protocol for that. Ordinarily, what happens if we hear word of something inappropriate going on is we will engage in what we call the initial inquiry, and we will call the person in, we will interview the complainant, and if that complaint turns out to be neither manifestly false nor frivolous, that's the words we use, then we put the man on administrative leave, and we begin a more thorough investigation.
We've got audio of Father Paul Seal, who was in studio this morning with WBEN. He had a few things to say. I wonder if we can get a reaction from you.
This is affecting people, especially devoted Catholics, very, very deeply. And the sadness is that, you know, we're hoping that something would change, even giving the bishop a chance early on. And yet, you know, it doesn't seem like things are changing, that it's still kind of business as usual, and it's just going to keep going on no matter what.
So what is your reaction to that, Bishop?
What does Father Seil mean by it's all going on? I mean, as I say, the abuse of children in this diocese is practically zero for a couple of decades. And that shows the effectiveness of our work at Safe Environment. We have the new policy now on adults, the new ethics point thing. I disagree thoroughly with Father Seil's perspective. He's welcome to it, but I don't think he's right.
And thank you for correcting his last name for me. I appreciate that. Here he had one more thing to say.
This is affecting people, especially devoted Catholics, very, very deeply.
He goes on to talk about the potential bankruptcy.
I think probably the diocese will file for bankruptcy within the next probably 7 to 10 days. I think that's a done deal.
Okay, so essentially, you know, not happy, wanted a change in the leadership. But this whole idea that this is a done deal and it's already decided, is there truth to that?
Absolutely false. I have no reason to lie about that. I don't lie anyway, and I'm not going to lie about that. We're still, are we in a very serious discernment about this? Yes. Could it go the direction of bankruptcy? Yes, it could. But we're certainly not ready in the next few days to decide it.
You know, Bishop, there's something I don't understand, and I want to offer you the opportunity to talk about this and maybe fill in some blanks that I'm just not getting. We have, admittedly, with all due respect to my friends at the Buffalo News, we have a liberal newspaper in town. They did a poll of Catholics claiming 86% of Catholics want you to resign. There is, on the other hand, a priest who is circulating a letter trying to get to other priests to sign it, calling for your resignation. So far, out of 250 priests in the diocese, only 18 priests have signed that letter. We did a non-scientific poll yesterday on this show, which was very, very close, and it was nowhere near 86% of people wanting you to resign. Does Bishop Richard Malone believe that a lot of the pressure you are under is based on a radical element within the Catholic Church, politically based, which is trying to do away with any vestige of conservative or traditional Catholic values and transform fundamentally the Roman Catholic Church, and they view you as an obstacle to their political agenda?
That's a pretty strong statement that I could not sign off on right now. People, but I'll tell you the truth, Tom, people have expressed that to me as a concern. I carefully watch that and think about it. My tendency is to want to trust people. And obviously, from what has happened, sometimes that backfires. But I like to trust the people who come to me and express their concerns and hopes, and to work together.
The 14 priests that did sign that, will they have any retribution? Or?
No, not at all. And by the way, if you look at the total of priests in the Diocese of Buffalo, total, the active guys, the senior priests don't like to be called retired because they actually do help out in parishes. And the religious order guys, there are 391 total. I just got that number yesterday. So, I don't think there's a strong, and I get some beautiful, beautiful supportive letters from some of the priests, too.
I mean, if you are really persona non grata, if you are really perceived by people you are overseeing as being, you know, Satan incarnate as the Bishop of Buffalo, one would think that more than 18 priests by now would have signed a letter, and one would have thought that even our non-scientific radio poll yesterday would have been skewed more like 90% of people say he should resign. Do you believe you are getting a bum deal? And if you're not getting a bum deal, to what would you ascribe the motive?
I don't know what to ascribe it to. This is a pretty dramatic thing I'm going to say right now. But I think this whole situation, while it's being analyzed in many, many ways, and I mean by the whole situation, 50 or 60 years of bad, bad, destructive behavior by some priests and others that hurt children, and what's going on now, which is harmful to the church, I don't think, and I'll be ridiculed for this for sure, I don't think that it's happening without the participation of the evil one. I was in the seminary at a time years ago when angels and demons were demythologized. They're just symbols. But I know that's not true. I know the evil one is real.
Oh, there is evil in the world.
And I think there's a personality. There is an evil being. And I think that's part of what's going on here, too. That doesn't take away people's free will, but it can influence it.
Very interesting statement.
Yeah, well, listen, are we time-wise?
Time-wise, we're going to have to move along. I believe the bishop has another commitment.
Yes, we have expired our time. I appreciate you coming in. And, we hit you with everything that came in from emails and texts and you name it. So thank you for answering all those questions.
Thank you for your welcome.
And I would also like to say, too, that in almost 40 years doing this, most of which I have spent on the airwaves in Buffalo, even despite the current crisis, you are by far the most accessible bishop with whom I have dealt and have been held to, and I think have responded to great demands on accountability. And I want to thank you for coming so often on the show and taking the tough questions, taking the easier questions, and being in direct contact with the people of Buffalo.
And thank you both, Tom and David. I'm grateful to you.
Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, Bowerly and Bellavia, for real. We're both in studio on News Radio 930 WBEN. Your thoughts on the interview we did with Bishop Malone? Your thoughts on Bishop Malone and what he had to say are welcome. We must have done something right because we're getting hate mail from both sides, those who want to see the bishop stay and those who want to see him continue on. So anytime you get hate mail from both sides, I guess I reckon you know you've done as good a job as you possibly can do. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I thought the information about Father Richard and Bojanowski and the house and the conversation that the bishop had with Father Richard, I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think also the idea that bankruptcy is not in the immediate, as in days or a week, future for the Buffalo Diocese, also I find that very interesting.
Well, so I think it's apparent that what you had here was a situation where political correctness and other things are kind of leaking into the way you handle an adult relationship with priests that aren't supposed to be in adult relationships. And that we can all agree that there's a difference between a church frowned upon adult relationship that's a consensual relationship and a victim abuse, what we saw in the scandal where children were being affected by it. We have two completely different, both wrong, but two completely different scales of trauma and everything else, right?
Right.
Now, you take consensual relationships and you go into, inevitably what happens in any work environment, ask any HR person in Western New York, people who work together start dating and people start hanging out. Some relationships end horribly. And some people act very immaturely, right? And some people use their position and that becomes a company issue. Right. Use your position to get your way, and sexuality and sexual relationship is a part of that relationship. There's trouble. And they dealt with that. That's exactly what this was. So it was interesting to me that if I was a priest and I said I wanted to live with a younger woman, it's no circumstances can we believe that you're friends.
Right.
But, you know, a priest who gets in a house with a younger man, we just automatically assume that that's just a platonic, everything's on the up and up.
As they have maintained, I just want to point that out to keep everybody happy, Bojanowski and Father Richard have maintained it was a platonic
relationship. No, absolutely.
Despite the lyrics and the letter, which...
The letter did, you know, made you think otherwise, but let's just take everyone at their word. What I'm getting at, though, is that this is an issue the Catholic Church is going to have to be red-faced on. Because if they tell all of these supporters that are claiming to be Catholic what the church's stand on same-sex relationships are, they're going to be alarmed that it is not a progressive agenda. Just because your pope is into global warming doesn't mean your pope is pro-choice. It doesn't mean your pope supports gay marriage. And it doesn't believe your pope doesn't believe in exorcism. Because all three of those things, this pope is very supportive of. So you might have some issues that you think makes him left of center as pope. But I have to tell you that you're going to be disappointed because the church looks at that. That's a broken vow. That's not going to change. We're not going to get open relationships with priests and nuns with this pope. Absolutely not.
No, and that's nor, a 20-year argument. Nor will priests ever be allowed to marry in our lifetime.
That's
anyway.
The foundation of the church. I mean, literally, you're talking a 20-30-year experiment if the church even contemplates that. But it's just not going to happen.
But there are actually, you know, just a little side trivia note, there are actually married Roman Catholic priests. These are people who went to seminary as Episcopalians or Anglicans and married and then had a conversion to Roman Catholicism.
So
there are actually married Roman Catholic priests.
So let's say that Bishop Malone goes on a spree inside the diocese right now and says, who here is gay? Who here is in an open relationship with a woman? Who here? And he thins the herd out, and he finds that these, you know, people are, you know, he discovered all everything. What would the news say about Bishop Malone rooting out people that are living a gay lifestyle in the church? Oh. Would that be perceived as enforcing Me Too, or would that be perceived as he's anti-gay?
Oh, I strongly believe that most media would call it homophobic,
right?
Out of on the wrong side of history, which is another one of their favorite new expressions,
right?
And probably hate-filled.
So you can't remove a priest for having same-sex thoughts. You can't remove a priest for, you know, being what the priest believes he is to be. You can only punish a priest for acting out on things that are against the church. And obviously, the thing with the children is 100% against everything the church stands for. And it's something we can all easily point to and say, that's horrible, right? But if a priest is in a adult consensual relationship, that's a church problem. We just hope he's not abusing his power, his position, or anyone else. But this seems like this is an HR issue inside the Catholic Church.
Yeah, it does. And that situation between Noack, Father Richard, and Matthew Bojanowski is, I mean, that's right out of Peyton Place.
It's odd.
It's ugly. It's odd. And
but it's also things that people like to read about and are excited to gossip about, and it becomes a whole drama of its own. And I'm sorry, but I listened to your program with your speed dial. Give me your
Lightning Talk Radio.
Lightning Radio. I got to tell you, the one thing I heard all the time is he needs to resign. Why? Because I don't like what he's doing. Okay, give me an example. I can't get into it, but I really know what I'm talking about because I mow the lawn at the cemetery, and I'm really close to those people. I understand Catholics. I understand it. What did he do wrong? I can't get into it. I really can't.
Well, you know,
you don't know. The reality is that even if, you know, Bishop Malone did any of, even if Bishop Malone is guilty of not wanting negative feedback, that's still not a reason for someone to resign. That's a reason why he's not a you know, maybe a secure leader or something like that. But is that an impeachable offense? I mean, I know we're accustomed to going after a president we didn't want and just throwing everything at the book. You don't think this is happening outside of Buffalo. You're naive. It's happening all over the country. These little pockets of people show up. They go after their local bishop. They go after Kavanaugh. They're going after every elected person across the board. And they're just coming up with first, he should have gone because of the way he handled the child abuse. Now he should go by the way he's handling same-sex relationships and Me Too stuff. And you know, and I know, if those people called all the shots and Bishop Malone just stayed there as a figurehead, they would still want him to resign, because this is about Bishop Malone resigning. This is all it is. He's got to go.
I got to tell you, I think some of it is about politics, and I think some of it is about people who radically want to fundamentally change the Roman Catholic Church. I believe that. Can I prove that? No. But do I believe that? Yes. David, what did you think were some of the other important things to come out of our conversation with the bishop? I was taken at the end when he acknowledged evil and spoke about evil in the world, because not a lot of people are willing to even talk about that now, even within spiritual or church circles.
When you talk to, you know, you've got 5 degrees of Catholics, right? There's one comedian that talks about her Chipotle Catholicism, where she goes through the Chipotle line and picks what part of Catholicism she loves, the writer for 30 Rock. Brilliant, brilliant writer. But that's funny, but there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of people who just pick and choose what makes them feel good. If it's something about women's reproductive, whatever you want to call it, abortion, then, you know, well, obviously I'm not Catholic then. I don't Catholic when it comes to this lifestyle or that lifestyle. And then you have people that are just all in. And they're the people that keep the church running. They're the people that raise the money. They're the people that volunteer and donate. And some of those people are upset. But a lot of those people, I think, are just right now just watching a guy who's just being buried by everyone. I mean, everyone. People have turned on him. The outside people are saying, get out, get out, get out. And they're just saying, look, what more can you do here? Are you going to be effective? And Bishop Malone's like, I'll leave in 2021. You know, I'm not going to resign unless you carry me out of here. So
yeah,
let's get stuff done. I don't know what the real – these people are just hell-bent on him leaving.
I want to – if it's okay with you, unless you're sick of the topic, and, you know, we talked about this probably for about 30 different shows we've done, but can we continue talking about this a little bit after the news at 4, then we'll get into some other stuff?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.